All right. Now we're holding on Lamed Zayin on what Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, HaShechet Etam Asukenes, if a person shechts an animal that is dangerously ill. Now, we're going to learn in the next parak all about Tshechis. We're going to talk about a bunch of different conditions. The Mishnah at first lists 18 basic, where the Mishnah actually lists 18 basic ones. The Gemara expands on it with many different details. Altogether, when the Rambam gets there, when the Rambam gives the complete list, it comes out to 70. So all of those will make an animal trefa. And of course, we'll be talking about trefa in our Gemara over here as well. So trefa is where there's an actual noticeable thing wrong with the animal. There's a hole in various internal organs, or there's something sometimes wrong on the outside of the animal. It can even be, for example, sometimes that the animal has an extra one of certain limbs, for example, an extra leg. We have a concept in halacha, we'll talk about it soon, called kol yester kenotel dummy. When you have something extra, it's considered as though that thing is missing. So since an animal missing a leg would be trefa, then if it has an extra leg, it's also trefa. So you have a bunch of different things. From head to toe of the animal, 70 different conditions altogether, as the Rambam enumerates them, that will make it trefa. A mesukenes doesn't have any of the above. There's no particular organ that you can point to and say this one is defective or has a hole or is broken or removed or missing or what have you. It's just the animal is generally weak and sick. Could be because of old age, could be because of disease, for example, but not something that makes an actual noticeable change in an organ. Whatever it is, such an animal is called a mesukenes. So you are allowed to eat it, as we're going to learn, as we're going to be most of today's Gemara is going to be discussing how we know that you are allowed to eat such an animal. But now there's a concern. With a healthy animal, you shecht it, fine, you shecht it, and it dies as a result of the shechita, which is what you're supposed to do. A mesukenes, you have the problem that it's so weak, conceivably it might die before the shechita is accomplished. Remember, the shechita has to be that you have to cut. In the case of an animal, at least most of the windpipe and at least most of the esophagus, and by the time you reach that point, the animal is so weak that sometime earlier in the shechita, it might just die. So our Mishnah is going to discuss then how you make sure that it's not the case, that it actually died from the shechita and not earlier. So the Mishnah says, if a person shechted an animal that is dangerously ill, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, so Reb Shimon Gamliel says, the Mephoshim will have the Girsa instead of Reb Gamliel. Toysos at the top of the next Amud seems to also have that Girsa. Anyway, Reb Shimon Gamliel or Reb Gamliel Omer, Ad Shetefartes B'Yad Over Regel. In order for the animal to be kosher, it has to be that it moves or jerks its foreleg and its hind leg. So if we see that it does that after the Shechita, then fine, it means it had enough life in it that at the end of the shechita, there was still enough life left in it, enough life left in its muscles and its nerves or whatever to jerk like that. But if not, then it means that it was dead before that. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a daya in zinka. Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't actually have to move convulsively like that. It doesn't have to jerk like that. It just has to zinka. Rashi explains like this. When an animal is shechted, At the end of the shechita, it'll give out like its last breath, like a big sigh, sort of like, and then that'll cause a huge gush of blood to come out. So Rabbi Eliezer says, that's called zinik. The word zinik means like to spurt forth. So like it does something that causes blood to spurt out like that. If it does that, Rabbi Eliezer says that's enough, and that shows that it had enough life force in it, this mesukenes, that now it died as a result of the shechita and not before it. And the Mishnah continues. Amar Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says another opinion. Hashechet b'layla, or an opinion related to that. Hashechet b'layla. Suppose a person shechts by night. Now, if it's by day, you'll be able to see easily enough what the animal did, whether it did this pirkos, this jerky movement or whatever. But if it's at night, you're not going to be able to see that. Well, Reb Shimon says if he shechted at night, the next morning he got up early, and in the light he sees that the walls are full of blood. Ksheira, then the animal is kosher, even if it was a mesukenes, she has zinka, because then we know it did this zinka, it caused this huge spurt of blood to come out. Uchmidas Rabbi Eliezer, namely, basically, like Rabbi Eliezer says, that zinuk is enough, so Reb Shimon is adding a point that you can see, even if you did the shechita by night, he's still going to have a way to find out whether zinuk took place, namely, you'll be able to see whether the walls are full of blood. The Gemara is going to end up explaining, we'll learn this in tomorrow's Gemara, Be'ez Hashem, that when we say
that when we say the walls, we don't mean the walls of the building or whatever, or the room where the shechita took place. What we actually mean is the walls as in the outside of the neck. So the inside of the neck, that the Pharisee Cyril points out, as a practical matter, of course that's going to be full of blood. You had blood vessels there, and they were cut during the shechita. But here we're talking about that if you see the outside of the neck is covered with blood, then you know that won't just have been from blood dripping, a little bit of blood dripping out during the shechita. That would have been from this huge gush, this huge spurt of blood that would be caused by zinka, and therefore Reb Shimon says that's enough to show that the animal was alive throughout the shechita. So following Rabbi Yezer, the Chum say another opinion. No, you don't need like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or like Rabbi Gamliel that it moves its arm and its foreleg and its hind leg. On the other hand, we're not going to say like Rabbi Yezer that Zinka is enough. The Chum say ad shetefalkus oy biyad oy beregel. It does have to jerk something, but either its foreleg or its hind leg after the shechita. Oy ad shetekashkish biznava. Or it has to wag its tail. That also shows if it does any of those things, then it means that it has enough chayus in it still to be able for it to be considered a kosher or shechita. So the Mishnah continues. Echad behema daka ve'echad behema gasa. These rules apply as far as this rule that you need pirkos applies to both small type animals and large type animals. We don't mean daka and gasa is the usual term in Gemara. Behema daka means sheep and goats, and behema gasa means cattle. So regardless what class of animal it belongs to, either way you need this kind of pirkos. We'll get into the Gemara in more detail about whether there is any difference between them. Now the Mishnah itself says, "Behema daka shaposhta yadav leach zira." Now, with a small animal, cattle sheep or goats, if after the shechita it just stretched out its foreleg, v'loyach zira, but it didn't then bring it back in. Psula, so then it's possible, then it means the shechita is possible, and because the animal may have died during the shechita, she'ena elo, it's sauce nefesh bilvad, because that kind of thing, for it to just move its front leg outward and not pull it back, that's just like sauce nefesh, that's just like an instinctive convulsive motion that the animal might do even after it's dead. Sometimes you have, the same way, for example, by kaparis, for example, they shech the chickens, and even afterwards they're still flapping around for a bit. So you have, there's a certain degree of energy in the muscles and in the nerves or whatever that it can still move around for a bit shortly after its death. But now we're saying that if it only stuck out its foreleg, that's not good enough to be a pirkus that would show that the animal was kosher. How does it still move if it died? That's the thing, because you still have there's a certain amount of energy still in the nerves and in the muscles that causes it to move a little bit. So the Mishnah says, "Bamed v'ramam shoyse b'cheskas mesukenes." Now all of this that you need pirkus only applies if the animal already had a chazaka of being mesukenes, of being dangerously ill. So now we have this concern that it might have died before the shechita was properly completed. Avlim hoyse b'cheskas bria. But if the animal was perfectly healthy, then even if it doesn't have any of these, then it's perfectly kosher. In fact, the Shittim Kubretzis brings an interesting point. In that case, it might be the animal didn't move because, it was terrorized by the Shitta, kind of. But therefore, so the fact that it didn't move afterwards doesn't show that it was dead beforehand. It was stunned into, because of its fear, into not moving. Speaking of stunning, actually, by the way, you have at various times in the last hundred odd years, various governments, generally speaking, anti-Semitic ones, have come up with laws that you have to stun animals with an electric current before you shech them. They claim that way it'll be a more humane kind of killing, whatever. Anyway, the poskim in all those hundred odd years have been very against it and brought various reasons why. The Minchas Yitzchak, in fact, has a long discussion about it, and one of the points he brings to bear is that it will relate to this whole matter of mesukenes, that then if you stun the animal with an electric current, then it's already considered a mesukenes. First of all, we're going to say on Amud Beis, it's really better not to eat from such an animal if you can help it. We're going to see that Yechezkel didn't, for example, Yechezkel the Navi. But besides that, even if technically you're allowed to, still, you also don't know then whether the animal is going to actually be dead before the shechita as a result of the stunning. And of course, that would be a big problem. So that's one of the so rabbanim all the time, any time that governments have brought up this kind of law, then rabbanim have been very against it. And if there was no way to get around it, then okay, they couldn't eat meat in such countries. Tosfos, by the way, points out, usually, so far in the Masechta, we've had a number of times when the Mishnah uses the expression hashoichet, and the Gemara has explained that means we're talking about something b'dieved. In other words, not that you should do this l'chatchila, but b'dieved, if you did it, here are the rules. Now, here, hashoichet as a mesukenes. The fact is, Tosfos says you are perfectly allowed to eat from a mesukenes. Again, when we're talking about an omid beis, a midas chasidus, like Yechezkel on Novi is not to, but technically you are certainly allowed to. So the reason why it says hashoichet is only because we have to give these rules about pirkos and all that. So therefore, it has to phrase it like that. Okay. So the Gemara says, mesukenes mi mai desharia. Well, how do we know that a mesukenes is kosher to eat in the first place? That you should say that then we need to see if there's pirkos. Maybe if an animal is misokenes, you can't eat it, period, and then there's no room for this whole discussion. Well, the Gemara asks right back, we might taste a kadait in dasira. Okay, well, what makes you think it's ulcer? You want to argue that it's ulcer, where's your proof? And the answer is, we would say, dichtiv, because after all, the pasuk says, zois hachaya shetechlu. The pasuk says, these are the animals that you can eat. Now, the word chaya often means wild animals, but it doesn't just mean that, because the fact is those rules apply to domestic animals as well. Sometimes the Gemara says also chaya, that behema includes, that the word chaya also includes all animals, chayas and behemas. However, the basic meaning of the word chaya means alive. So from that we learn chaya echel v'she'ena chaya lois echel. It means you can only eat from an animal that is going to be able to live, that would have been able to live had it not been for the shechita, and not if it's not. From that we learn, for example, at the beginning of the next parak, we're going to talk about that this is how we learn the various treifas. Like this, the Torah only tells us, the Torah tells us if meat is torn in the field, so for example, it was attacked by a predator or something, you can't eat it. How do we know all the various other treifas that we're going to learn about in the next parak? The Gemara explains, so that's all in this category, because all of them are she'ena chaya, the animal is not going to live very long as a result of this condition, a hole in the lung or an injury someplace else in the body cavity or in the brain or whatever, and then in the hind legs or the various other organs that we're going to talk about in the next paragraph that are vital organs. Because it says those are chaya shetochlu, and we learn that the word chaya also means an animal that can live. Well, the mesukenes ain't a chaya. Well, a mesukenes is not going to be able to live for very long either. So the question would be then, how do we know that you're allowed to eat a mesukenes? Maybe in fact you're not allowed to, and then never mind pirkus or not. And the answer is, because the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat a nevela, which is an animal that's already dead. Now, generally speaking, a nevela is going to have been sick for a while before it died. When we talk about a nevela, an animal that's dead from any condition other than shechita, most of the time, it means the animal will have gradually been getting weaker and weaker and sicker, and eventually it dies. So therefore, so if the Torah is telling us you can't eat nevela, miklal the mesukenes sharia, well then the implication has to be that a mesukenes is still allowed. As long as it didn't die yet, then you are allowed to eat it. D'sakradach mesukenes asira, if you're going to tell me already it's also once it's mesukenes, once it's dangerously ill, ashtemechayim asira l'achamisim iboi, if you can't even eat it, if you shechted it while it was alive, how much more so if it died without shechita, you wouldn't be able to. So then the Torah wouldn't need to tell us nevela at all. Now, to be sure, the Gemara is going to point out on Amud Beis, it is perfectly possible on the face of it for an animal to become nevela without having been sick beforehand. The example the Gemara gives is the Gemara is going to give the example on Amud Beis. I saw gistera, that like you chop the animal in half or something. But to put it in modern terms, let's say for example, if your car hits an animal on the road, then it wasn't sick beforehand. So the Gemara will get back to that point later. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that nevela implies that it was Mr. Kenneth beforehand. Well, if your Torah is telling you can't eat nevela, then that implies that you could eat it when it's mesukenes. So as long as you catch it in time and shecht it in time, then you would be allowed to eat it. But the Gemara asks, maybe not. V'duma hainu nevela hainu mesukenes. How do you know? Maybe nevela and mesukenes is actually the same thing. Maybe when the Torah tells you don't eat nevela, it means once it becomes a mesukenes, then already it's called nevela. And therefore, you're not allowed to shecht it, and even if you shecht it, you still wouldn't be allowed to eat it. And the point would be, in other words, that if you shech the mesukenes, then you're being over on the same issur as nevela. In other words, you're assuming that the definition of nevela is when the animal is actually dead. Maybe not. Maybe the definition of nevela is when the animal is going to be dead soon. And the answer is lo sakadayda. You can't think that way. It just did, because the Torah clearly spells out what an avela is. The Torah says if an animal that is kosher, of the species that are kosher to eat, dies, then anybody who touches its carcass is going to become tamei. So the point is, we see la'acha misa u'dekari rachmana nevela. So only after the animal dies does the Torah call it nevela. But while the animal is alive, it's not yet called nevela. So therefore, so now there would be no reason for the Torah to warn us, don't eat nevela, because then again, if it was already also when it was a mesukenes, then that issue wouldn't have disappeared because the animal died without shechita. So therefore, obviously, mesukenes and nevela are not exactly the same thing. So you see that nevela is when the animal is actually dead, but the Gemara says that's still not really a solid proof. Maybe you should say nevela and mesukenes are actually the same thing. In other words, fine, you're going to say that nevela means ever since it becomes mesukenes, ever since it becomes dangerously ill, then already it's osur. You're going to say, then why is the Torah need to tell you don't eat nevela? If anyway, it's going to be also from having been a mesukenes, and that issu obviously hasn't disappeared because it died. You could argue mechayim be'esa la'acha misa b'lav. So you would argue what happens is it becomes also as soon as it's mesukenes. At that point, if you were to shecht it and eat it, you're only being oivan on esse. Because after all, the Torah says chaya echol, zois chaya shateichlu. These are the animals that you can eat, only the ones that are going to live, implying the ones that are not going to live you can't eat. So therefore, if you eat one that is not going to live, you're oivan on esse. But now, if you actually wait until it dies, then you're going to say that after it actually dies, then there would also be a lav of lois chaychul called nevela, of not eating nevela. But maybe we would say that already it is also by an esse from beforehand, from when it became mesukenes. So you don't really have a proof. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says you're right. Let's try a different tack. Fine. Never mind from the fact that the Torah says that you can't eat nevela. And by the way, when we say over here, chaya toichel, the chaya echol, v'shein chaya lo toichel, so in fact, in the end, of course, we're going to conclude in our Gemara over here that you can eat a mesukenes, which is why the Mishnah is talking about what you need to do in order to know that it didn't die during the shechita. So in the end, that pasuk is going to be telling us that you can't eat trefa, and in fact, in the next perek, that is where we're going to learn the definition of trefa is where the animal is not going to live long term. The definition that we're going to learn in the next perek is when the animal is not going to live with this condition for 12 months. Then that's the definition of trefa. We'll talk all about that in detail in the next perek, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway, okay, so fine. So we can't learn from nevela. The Gemara says, "Ella mid'amar chamana treifel isoichal." Fine, let's try rather from the fact that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat a treifa. Miklal de mesukenes sharia. Now again, we can deduce from that a mesukenes would be fine to eat. Di sakredach mesukenes asira, because if you're going to think that a mesukenes is already also to eat, when it's just sick, but there's nothing particular missing or punctured or whatever. If that was already also hashtem mesukenes dolem chaser asira, then we can easily make a kavah chomer. A mesukenes is not even missing anything, and it would already be also treifa miboya. How much more so a treifa where something is actually missing, or has a hole in it, or something like that. The fact that the Torah doesn't do that, the fact that the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to eat trefa implies as long as it didn't reach the point of trefa yet, as long as there's nothing missing or punctured or what have you, then you're fine. But the Gemara says still v'dima hainu trefa hainu mesukenes. Still, you could argue that trefa and mesukenes is the same thing. And like we said before, v'lava ol v'esav aloises there. And the point would be, when it's not going to be chaya, it's not going to live long term, then already it can be called trefa. In other words, the word trefa, in effect, would mean a loss of being in danger of that it's going to die soon. So it would include mesukenes, and it would also include trefa. So right away, we would say the definition of trefa is mesukenes,
a definition of treifa includes mesukenes. And again, v'lava olav be'eser v'loyseser, and it would mean that if you eat it, you're over on an eser and a loyseser. You have the eser of zoysachaya, and you have the loyseser, loyseichal, that you're not allowed to eat treifa, or v'osav asada treifa loysechelu. So you would say that it means that it's both the same thing. So Tosfos points out, by the way, that the Gemara is sort of, when the Gemara keeps on saying maybe this and this are the same thing, it's sort of like using that in two different senses. First, the Gemara had yidon with the nevela and mesukenes. The Gemara had thought, maybe the Gemara said, maybe we could argue that the word nevela itself includes mesukenes. Then we tried to say, fine, maybe it doesn't include it, but it would mean the animal's already osir from when it's mesukenes, and when it becomes nevela, when it actually dies, then you have an additional thing added, you have an esse and a lois esse involved. As opposed to, and here with treifa and mesukenes, the Gemara is trying to say the same thing as using the first method, that maybe treifa and mesukenes is exactly the same definition, and if a person shechts and eats a mesukenes of any kind, whether just mesukenes or whether treifa, either way, he'll be over on an esse and a lois esse. So how do you know that not? So Tosfos also adds the point. I mean, after all, you have certain kinds of treifas where nothing is missing. For example, an extra leg or whatever. Nevertheless, why are such things treifa? Is because of the principle in halacha that says kol yeser kenotel domi. When you have something extra, it's considered as though that thing was missing. So, for example, let's say an animal is treifa if the back legs are missing above a certain point. So, the same way, if it has an extra leg that starts at that point or higher, then it's considered as though the leg is missing. Well, then, Tosfos says, in effect, it's the same thing. It's still considered like chaser. It's still considered something missing, and therefore, the same rule would apply. We could argue that any animal that's not going to live, whether because it's actually missing something, whether because it has something extra, which is the same thing as far as halacha is concerned as missing, or whether a mesukenes where nothing's missing or punctured or whatever, but it's weak and is also going to die soon, all of those would be in the category of treifa, maybe. And therefore, that a person would be over on an esse and a lois esse if he eats it. In fact, though, a mafarshim will point out that basically in that case, that we could take the word treifa to the word toraf. The word toraf means to tear, which is why a treifa is called that, because, for example, the Torah gives the example where an animal was torn by a predator, but also the word toraf in Gemara terminology often means to mix up. So it can mean that its health and its sanity and everything are mixed up because it's weak and sick and is going to die soon. So maybe all that is included in the word treifa. So maybe it's the same thing, and you there's an S and a lois S. Well, the answer is, in that case, in Kain Nevela, to cause of Rahman al-Lamali, then we're back to why would the Torah have to tell us that Nevela you're not allowed to eat. We would also make an easy kavachoyma. Umami chayim koya lo b'lav v'eseh. How much more if you're going to say that even when the animal was alive, there would already be a lav and an eseh involved? Because you're telling me that the definition of the word treifa includes mesukenes as well, and therefore at that point you shechted the mesukenes, you already and eat it. You're already over on an eseh of zoysachaya and a lois eseh of not eating treifa. So l'acha misim ebaya, how much more so after the animal actually dies, there's nothing else to add over there. So of course it would be also, there'd be no reason for the Torah to mention nevela. Okay, but the Gemara says, still, that's not a proof. The dilma hainu nevela, hainu treifa, hainu mesukenes, maybe all of them are the same thing. In other words, even a nevela that died after it became treifa, so let's say it went through all three. What if it was first mesukenes, then became treifa, and then became nevela? So fine, you would say v'lava olav b'shnei lavim v'esse. At that point, if you eat it, you're over on two lavim and an esse. You would say the esse is zoysachaya, which includes any animal which is not going to be able to live, mesukenes as well. Then as a treifa, you're over on uvosabai, or even if it doesn't separately become a treifa, just the fact that it was a mesukenes, we're saying maybe is the same definition of treifa, and you're over on a lav as well, the uvosabasada treifa. And then if it actually dies without shita, then on top of that, you're over on another esse, you're over on another lois esse, of loisaych we call nevela. So maybe all of that, and therefore you don't have any basis for saying that a mesukenes is mutter. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine, let's try another way. Ela mehocha. Rather, we can learn it from here. The pasuk says, now we know you're not allowed to eat chelev of an animal, the various fats of an animal. We're going to talk a little bit in the next parak. We'll talk about what kind, which things are also as chelev. There's different places in Shas where it discusses the details of it. Anyway, we're going to have some of it in the next parak. We're going to have some of it in a later parak of Amasechta about the various details of what is and isn't chelev.
Anyway, so the pasuk says the chelev nevela v'chelev tshefa ye'osa l'chol melacha. The chelev of a nevela, of an animal that died without shechita, or the chelev of a tshefa, which had one of these injuries or conditions or whatever. The pasuk says ye'osa l'chol melacha, that kind of chelev can be used for any kind of work, v'ochol lo yisrich luhu, but you should not eat it. The point of that you can use it for any kind of work, in other words, you shouldn't think that maybe it's osa b'hanar or something, and not only that, actually, the Gemara elsewhere explains, I mean, it's not even a tame. It's not even, you can even use it, the Gemara explains elsewhere, from Melechas Kodesh, you could even use it for work involving things of Kodesh, because the chelev, unlike the meat of the animal, is not going to be a tame. But then the pasuk says, v'ocha lo yisrich luhu, but do not eat it. Now, for Omamar, now we learn in a different place, Lamai Hilchsa, for what purpose, from Lamai Hilchsa, Omra Torah, for what purpose does the Torah need to tell us that? Of course you can't eat it. You can't eat chelev anyway. What are you going to say? Because the animal died or because it became terefa, the issue of chelev should go away? So what is it adding to us? Ella. So my humchas amatera. So what it's telling us is Yove Isu Nevela v'yochol al Isu chelev. It comes to tell us that the issue of Nevela is able to be chal on top of the issur of chelev, and similarly, the yovet issur trefa, the yochol al issur chelev. Similarly, the issur of trefa. In other words, a person eats regular chelev, and he's chayev, he's being over on an issur. The Torah tells us don't eat chelev. Now, if he eats chelev from a nevela or a trefa, on top of that, he's also over on the issur of eating from a nevela or eating from a trefa. You shouldn't think, in other words, they have a concept in Gemara called ein issur chal al issur. If something is osur, then another Isser is not able to come on top of it. So here you would think that maybe it can't. It's already Osir as Chalev. It can't become more Osir. And nevertheless, we still say that it is able to become more Osir as well. Tosfos points out, actually, they're not over here, but this Gemara is also in Zvachim. And Tosfos, in fact, points out that there is an opinion in the Gemara, which is actually accepted la halacha, that we do have sometimes where isu chal al isu. In particular, we have things called isu moisif and isu koilal. Isu moisif is when a new dimension of isu is added to the existing isu. Let's say, for example, if before it was only also to eat, and now it's also b'hana, that would be called isu moisif. Isu koilal is when it's including other things as well. For example, the animal as a whole was mutter to eat, just the chelev was osur. The animal itself as a whole was mutter to eat once you shecht it. Only the chelev was osur to eat. Now it becomes a nevela or trefa, the whole thing becomes osur to eat. So it would be called an isur koilo. So Tosfos points out in Zvachim that in fact there is an opinion that says that holds of Isur Moisif, or Mephoshim explained that Tosfos really means Isur Koilo, so why do you need these Psukim? Of course the Isur will be Chal on another Isur, because there is an Isur Moisif or an Isur Koilo over here. And Tosfos points out that you can't even say you learn it from here because you see that because an Isur of Chalab is a unique kind of Isur compared to certain other Isurim. In any case, so Tosfos asks that question over there. According to that opinion, why would we need the pasuk? But here the Gemara is saying that's what it does. The pasuk comes to tell us that if you eat chelev from a nevela or a trefa, then you're also over on the issur of nevela or of trefa. Now, what does that have to do with our case over here? The Isakar Daidach Trefa Hainu Mesukenes. Now, if you're going to tell me that a Mesukenes is already called Trefa, then the Torah didn't have to phrase it that way. The Torah could have said, Lichter Rachmana, Chelev Nevela, Yasa Vachom Malacha. The Torah could have said, Chelev of Nevela, you can use for any purpose, which again means Mutabahana, and it won't be Matame. The Chelev Trefa Loisech Luhu, and do not eat Chelev of a Trefa. It didn't have to say, Vacho Loisech Luhu, about both Nevela and Trefa. And we would have realized for ourselves. We would have made a kavachomer. Madach, when the animal is alive and already also as a mesukenes, osi isu trefa chayla isu chaylev, and already the isu of trefa, because you're saying hypothetically that a mesukenes is already called a trefa, and already you're telling me while the animal is alive, the isu of trefa is able to come on top of the isu of chaylev, and now if a person ate chaylev from this animal, he'd be chayev for two averas. La'acha misa miboya. How much more so we wouldn't need to say after the animal is dead. So the Torah didn't have to tell us lo yisrichluhu about nevela and of trefa. It would have told us, you know what, look, a nevela is matame, but you should know that the chelev of the nevela is not matame. So you also l'chom l'ocha, go ahead and use it for whatever work you want, whatever purposes you want, and it won't be matame. It doesn't have to say anything about not eating it. By trefa, namely, at this point, we would say that trefa includes misukenes, then it would say lo sechluhu, and tell you that the issur of misukenes is able to come on top of the issur of chelev, and all the more so we would understand that the issur of nevela comes on top of the issur of chelev. So we can do it that way. Ella, so rather, no, precisely that. Midikasa Rahmana Nevela, because the Torah mentions separately Nevela and Trefa, Mikla, the Trefa, Lavhaina Masukenes. Then therefore, the implication is Trefa is not Masukenes. So in other words, when the animal is alive, if you shecht it, before, if you manage to get to it and shecht it before it actually died, then fine. You can eat the animal as a whole. You can't eat the Chelev. The Chelev has the regular rules of Chelev. If the animal was a trefa, or if it actually died, then you would be also then the chaylev is already also from beforehand, and in addition it's also because of nevela or trefa. The point would be the Torah would be telling us that nevela for this purpose does not mean that it means why was it nevela? Because before it was misukenes. Namely, in other words, trefa would be trefa. It became a trefa, and eventually it may die from that, or you may manage to shecht it from before that. But you would say nevela. The definition of nevela is that beforehand it was misukenes. So now Rashi points out we can't even learn from a Kavach Chomer from Trefa and say if it was a Trefa beforehand, etc. Well, we wouldn't be able to say that because why is an animal that's Trefa not allowed to eat is because there's something missing in it. And again, as Tosfos had said before, even if it's not technically missing, but it's considered lahalocha as missing, as opposed to again, Mesukenes has nothing missing per se, and therefore you couldn't make a Kavach Chomer from one to the other. Tosfos actually has a long discussion about that and has a bunch of questions on Rashi and sort of various other Rishonim it also has to do with the fact that, again, parts of this Gemara are also in Zvachim. The Gemara deals with it in Zvachim in connection with certain dinim of animals of Korbanos that were mixed up with other animals, and we had a whole discussion over there about this matter of Trefa and Nevela and Isu Chalal Isu and all that, and there are actually different Gersois in the Gemara over there that actually drive different understanding that would actually affect different understandings of our Gemara over here. Tosfos explains that one way, another way of understanding the argument in the Gemara would be that a trefa is not matame while it's alive, and still we're saying the chelev is already osur, and if the animal becomes trefa and then you shecht it, then on top of that you have on the issur of chelev, you also have the issur of trefa, then how much more so a nevela, which is metame after it's dead, how much more so that the chelev of it would be osur to eat. But again, that requires us to say in both cases that the animal is dead in the case of the trefa after shechita, in the case of nevela, it just died, rather than that we're talking about that the animal is alive. And Tosfos goes through and has various other details of the discussion about that. Fine. So far then, by the detail about chelev over there, we can learn that nevela and trefa both refer to the animal after it's dead, and neither one of them refers to when it's alive, namely misukenes. But Mab Rabashi questions that. The Dilma, La'olam emel ha'inu trefa ha'inu misukenes. Maybe after all, trefa and misukenes do mean the same thing. Maybe indeed the animal is called trefa already when it's alive because it's misukenes and it's not going to live very long. So you're going to ask, then why did the Torah mention nevela and trefa separately? Doesn't that indicate that the trefa is an animal that's not yet, doesn't that imply that trefa is dafka when it's missing something, and therefore misukenes, where it's not missing anything, is just fine? Maybe you could say, lahach nevela, doloi asim mekoyach misukenes. And we asked before in the Gemara that after all, every nevela is misukenes beforehand, but says Ma'abar Rabashi, not necessarily. Or to come in nevela, dekos rachman olamali. So why would the Torah have to mention nevela separately? Would be lahach nevela, doloi asim mekoyach misukenes. because the Torah would have to be telling us to inform us about the din by the kind of animal that is nevela without ever having been mesukenes first. And the hechidomi, what's a scenario of that? How do you have an animal become nevela without being mesukenes? Shasa or gistera is, for example, where he chopped the animal in half. So then it wasn't mesukenes beforehand, and yet it wasn't mesukenes before, and it's also to eat, but in other words, we would say a regular nevela, fine, it was mesukenes beforehand, like we said before, it was already mesukenes, it doesn't become more also as a result of being nevela. But now we would say, what do we need? The special issur of nevela is where it wasn't mesukenes beforehand. So the Gemara answers, Hosanami, you should have a Mesukenes Porta, but still, inevitably, then it's going to be Mesukenes for a tiny amount of time, the Kamad Lissak Leruba, before you cut through the majority. In other words, yeah, there's going to come a point when it's Gistera, but within that, if you break down that time more finely, you're going to find there was a fraction of a second when it was Mesukenes only and not yet fully cut through, and then it's completely cut through and it becomes Nevela. So therefore, yes, you can even say that in a case like that, You could say that it was trefa, or no, not trefa, that, well, yeah, that was trefa, may have been, but it was either trefa or it was trefa for a moment beforehand, and then it became nevela. So always a nevela is going to be mesukenes for even if it's only a tiny fraction of a second before it becomes nevela. So therefore, the argument is still valid that the Torah didn't have to mention Nevela and Trefa separately, were it not to teach us this concept that Trefa is only when the animal is injured or has a hole or has whatever of the conditions that makes it a Trefa, and not just when it's weak or sick. Okay. So that's one answer. To tell us that point. Okay. The Boisema, another answer I can give you, is we can, after all, going back to that pasuk about the chaylev, because if the Torah meant that a trefa includes a mesukenes, so before the argument was that we should say it shouldn't say lo'acholoisechluhu by the chaylev of a nevela at all, only by the chaylev of a trefa. Now we can make a different point. The Boisema, you could say another answer, that maybe in fact sometimes an animal can be nevela without going through the stage of mesukenes. Let's say, for example, we would say that when the animal is cut in half, immediately becomes a nevela without anything else beforehand. But fine. Lema chelev nevela utrefa. Fine, but the Torah could have said, chelev nevela utrefa, ye'osa l'chomalacha v'ocholoseich luhu, that the chelev of nevela and of a trefa. And then it would tell us that the issue of nevela and trefa is able to come on top of the issue of chelev. But why would it need to say, chelev, lomali, but why does it repeat the word chelev? The chelev nevela, the chelev trefa. Why would it need to do that? The reason would be, it tells you, zuhi shein chel b'cholok mebesara. It would tell you, when it comes to a nevela or a trefa, there's no difference between the chelev of it and the flesh of it. The flesh of it is also, so is the chelev, and therefore, we have, as we said before, isu chal al isu, the one isu of nevela or of trefa, is able to come on top of the isu of chelev. But that would have been enough. It didn't have to say, so now, because it says chelev and chelev, then that implies, v'yesh lacha acheres shechel b'cholok m'besara. But there is a different case, which is almost like these, in that the animal is close to dying, but it's not yet. It's neither a nevela, because it's not yet dead, nor is it a tshefer, because it doesn't have any specific condition that you can point to that says this is why it's on the verge of death. And the chelev is different than the flesh. Namely, you are allowed to eat the flesh if you shecht it, but you're still not allowed to eat the chelev. By telling us the word chelev twice stresses that point. The ezu, what would that be? Zu mesukenes. That would be a mesukenes. So we can, after all, learn from that pasuk about chelev that we can say that in fact the pasuk itself is implying that there is a difference between a mesukenes and a trefa. By saying the word chelev twice, implying only when it comes to nevela and trefa, do we say this, that the issur is chal on another issur, as opposed to with another case, which is very similar to those, but not similar enough, namely a mesukenes, where there's still only the issur of chelev. Okay.
And the Gemara says, "V'boy seima mehocha." Here's another possibility. Here's another way that we can learn how we know a Mesukenes is also. We have a story in Sefer Yechezkel. There's a number of things. Hashem tells Yechezkel to do a number of things to act out various parts, various aspects of the Churban and the Golus in order to make the Jewish people pay attention, that they should realize to do tshuva so that these things don't happen. One of the things Hashem tells, and it's first of all in order to show them that they should do tshuva. It's also, the Gemara explains, some of the things that he's doing also is he himself, the Tzaddik Yechezkel, is going through Yisurim, is going through suffering, and that helps accomplish a kapara on behalf of the Jewish people. So one of the things, as it describes over there, Hashem tells him to lie on his side for a certain period of time and then lie on his other side for a certain period of time, each of them representing a number of years when the Jewish people, first in the kingdom of the Aseret HaShevatim and then the kingdom of Yehuda, were doing Aveda. So the number of the number of days that he lies on each side is going to correspond to the number of years that he did those Avedas, and he'll be a kapara for them. Anyway, Hashem goes on to tell him that basically what he's supposed to do is also during that time, he should act like people do in a siege. So Hashem tells him to take a bunch of different grains and mix them together to make himself a food. You can go into the health food stores. They have something called Ezekiel bread, Ezekiel 4:9 bread. That's because in that pasuk, Perek Dalad, pasuk Tes, in Yechezkel, it gives a whole list of grains that Hashem tells him to mix together to make a food for himself during that time. The point is, in other words, regular, under normal circumstances, you're not going to eat such a mixture together. Okay, I guess now they do for health food. But under normal circumstances, you wouldn't. You would eat bread that's only wheat or only barley or only or various other cooked dishes that are only one thing or another, maybe like two or three things mixed together for flavor, but not like a whole conglomeration of that. So, but that's the kind of thing. During a siege, during a famine, people have no choice. They eat whatever's available, and they don't bother sifting it out and then picking out the good stuff from the not so good. So therefore, Hashem tells Yechezkel to do that, and he tells him, and you're going to eat a bare minimum of it during each day, just like people would do during a siege. So now Hashem tells him, how are you going to bake this bread? So he tells him, I want you to take human waste, dried human waste, and make a fire of it, and you're going to bake this bread on coals made out of that. So now, at this point, comes the pasuk that the Gemara quotes over here. Va'oimar, so Yechezkel says, Aho Hashem Elikim, woe Hashem my God. The Targum actually, whenever it says the word aha in Pesukim, always translates it Kabel Tzloisi, Hashem, accept my tefillah. So Yechezkel is like, I can't take this. Hashem, please listen to what I have to say. Hinei nafshi lo metumah. Behold, my soul has never become tameh. Unevelo trefa lo yachalti min urai v'adata. I never ate nevelo or trefa from my youth until now. V'loi vod b'fi b'sar pigul. And mouth of and meat of pigul never came into my mouth. So in other words, Yechezkel is saying, Hashem, please don't make me do this. Now, Yechezkel is obviously, he's a frum yid. He's 100% shrem Torah or mitzvah, so, because he's a navi. But all these things, if we're just talking about the simple things, that he's not becoming tameh, he's a kohen, he's not allowed to become tameh mes. Nobody is allowed to eat nevelo tzreifa. Nobody is allowed to eat pigul. So why would he be saying to Hashem, please give me extra consideration because I didn't do these things? Those are the bare minimum that any yid needs to do. So we have to understand that each of these things is meant on a higher level. So, when he says, Hinei nafshi lo metumah, means not just I didn't become tameh mes, which of course is a kohen he's not allowed to. It means, I never had thoughts of arayas, of znus, by day that would cause me to become tameh with tumas keri by night. Which Tosfos points out is a very, very difficult. First of all, technically, everybody is also to do that. You're not allowed to be Mahara by you. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, the Gemara does tell us in Baba Basra that in practice, almost everybody succumbs to it sometime during the day. Three things. The Gemara says, Einanum Nitzel Mehem Mechoyam. A person is generally not safe from them. So therefore, even though it's technically a person is also to do it, but in practice, a person can hardly avoid it. And the point is that Yechezkel is saying that he would go to that extra measure to make sure that he doesn't. How would he do it? In other words, he'd make sure that his thoughts are always focused on the right things so that he's careful not to come to this.
Marsha points out one thing is because if it actually meant that he didn't become Tomei, then the expression would be Nafshi lo timesi. I didn't make my soul, I didn't make myself Tomei or something like that. Nafshi lo mituma, where mituma is in a passive form, implies like my neshama did not become Tomei. Meaning by this kind of thing, where a person it's hard for a person to avoid such thoughts, as Tosfos says. And nevertheless, Yechezkel went the extra mile to not do that. Then he continues, Nevelo Tsrefa lo yachalti min urai. What does he mean when he says, I didn't eat Nevelo Tsrefa since my youth? Nobody's allowed to eat Nevelo Tsrefa. So what it really means is, I never ate in my life meat of kois kois. Kois is the Aramaic word for shecht. The kois kois would be an animal that's dangerously sick, the mesukenis that we're talking about in the sugya. And people would say, shecht it quickly before it dies and we can't eat it. So the fact that Yechezkel is saying that I didn't eat it implies that it is mutter to eat. Again, otherwise, what's the big deal? How could he be priding himself to Hashem and then priding himself or whatever? How could he be using that as an argument in his favor? I never ate that if, in fact, it was also. So therefore, that demonstrates that it is, in fact, mutter. Why did he call it Nevelo Tsrefa? So because, I mean, it's not exactly Nevela, but it's close to it. It's getting towards the degree of Nevela, as we've been discussing in this whole sugya. So why does he add the word trefa? Why does he add the word? It would be enough to add the word nevela because it's tantamount. It's almost nevela. It's not quite there yet. Why does he add the word trefa? So Marsha points out because he's explaining why would I not eat from this animal like this is because eventually it's going to die like a trefa. So in other words, it's not actually a nevela or a trefa, but nevertheless, I'm staying away from it. And Marsha adds the word minu urai also. Minu urai means literally from my youth, but it means also like from when the animal is ninar, from like when its health is shaken and undermined. Then already Yechezkel wouldn't eat it. There's an interesting vote also that's brought from one of the Mefarshim that he's saying even when I was a baby, my parents would never even give me such meat minu urai. Even when I was little, even when I'm not old enough to eat meat yet, but just like suck on the juice of it or whatever, they would still not give me meat from this besar kois from mesukenis. So again, we see that Mr. Tennis is mutter, but Yechezkel, and according to that explanation, his parents were careful to avoid it. And when he finishes off, the loib vav v'fid b'sar piggle, meat of piggle never came into my mouth. Now again, what do you mean? If it means that he didn't actually eat piggle, that's an isser, that's a clear isser in the Torah. Obviously, Yechezkel can't bring that as a point in his favor that I was always careful with that mitzvah. Rather, what it means is, I never ate meat of an animal that a chacham had to paskin on. You have times when you have shayla, when you have a shayla on meat. The rav paskin that is mutter, you're perfectly allowed to eat that meat. It is perfectly allowed because the rav paskin that it's mutter. Nevertheless, Yechezkel is saying, I went the extra mile and I wouldn't eat from that as well. Why? Because after all, I mean, look, you know, the fact that there had to be a shayla on it, so there's actually an expression in Yiddish, a shayla mach treif. The very fact that you have to ask a shayla shows already that there's reason to consider it to a certain degree treif. So Yechezkel takes the view then, the very fact that a rov had to paskin about it means there's a certain degree of shayla in it, and therefore I didn't want to eat such meat. There is a midas chasidus, in fact, not to do that. Now, why does he call it figul? Marsha points out that after all, piggle depends on machshava. I mean, as we learned in Zvachim and Menachas, you have certain machshavas during the bringing of a korban, and it makes it piggle. Here, there was a certain machshava as well. You had a shayla, you had in your machshava. Maybe this meat is not kosher. So therefore he calls it piggle in that extended sense. In fact, the Chassam Sofer adds that the Chacham himself, after all, the Shaila is brought to him, and he has to consider whether it's kosher or posel. So when he thinks that there's a reason that it might be posel, then that actually creates a certain impression in the meat and makes it, in other words, that even though he afterwards says it's kosher, nevertheless it can be considered in a certain sense piggle. And therefore, that someone like Yechezkel, who's extra careful with mitzvahs, who acts in midas chassidus like that, would not eat it. So that's one explanation. And Mishum Reb Nosson Omru, in the name of Reb Nosson, they said a different explanation. What he means by b'sar pigul shleichaltim behema shleihumu matneseha. I never ate meat from an animal where the matones were not taken off. We're going to learn towards the end of our masechta. One of the last parakim is the perak hazroyav al chayayim v'akeva about the three gifts of meat from a whole animal that you're supposed to give a kohen. So Yechezkel was saying, I would never eat from an animal where those have not been separated off. Now Rashi points out, he himself is a Kohen. He'd be perfectly allowed to eat before those pieces are taken off, because they would anyway go to him as a Kohen. Nevertheless, he was always careful that those pieces are taken off first. Tosfos, though, points out that later on, when we learn all about those dinim near the end of the Masechta, we're going to learn that Rabbi Yochanan says learns over there that in fact, if you don't take off the matonis, the meat is considered like tevel, the same way as you can't eat from produce before truma and maisa have been taken off. The same way Rabbi Yochanan says you absolutely cannot eat meat from an animal before the matonis are taken off, because that's considered the equivalent of tevel. Well, then according to that, then what would be the chiddush of Yechezkel? And the answer is, so Tosfos says Rabbi Yochanan evidently holds like the first opinion over here that says that Yechezkel was saying I didn't eat meat that a chacham had to give a psak din about it. But again, according to Rashi, it's not really a question in the first place, because even if it is considered tevel, still a kohen is not allowed to eat tevel. But when it comes to the matonis, the Gemara explains over there, the matonis, it's a definitive part, the certain parts that has to be given to the kohen. Therefore, fine, you could take them off and he as a kohen could just designate them and eat them, and nevertheless he wouldn't do that. So Yechezkel would actually be able to eat without taking the matzonis, and he was still and he was machmer on himself not to do that. So therefore the point is we see now the Gemara says Iam b'shleima shtaria. So if you tell me that a mesakenis is mutter, hayne rabusi d'Yechezkel, well then that's the chiddush of Yechezkel, that he's saying. And even though such meat is perfectly mutter to eat, la halacha, nevertheless I was machmer on myself and I wouldn't eat it. Eli, I'm an asira, but if you tell me that I'm a sakenis in any way also, my rebusi di Yechezkel, then what's the chiddush of what Yechezkel did? He wouldn't be saying that I kept the mitzvahs, because there's no chiddush in that. A yid is always expected to keep the mitzvahs. In any case, in the end, Hashem accepted Yechezkel's argument, and he said, fine, then I won't make you use human waste to bake this so-called bread of yours. Instead, you can use animal dung for the purpose. Which is, in terms of cleanliness, it's not really a lot better, but the point is, in other words, Yechezkel is saying human waste represents, human waste more than anything else represents like the animalistic side of a person. Is it really right? He's asking Hashem, me, that I was so careful all the time to keep the animalistic part of myself at bay as much as possible, to be machmer on myself in these areas of food and these areas of hirhurim, which are very difficult, and you want me to now take the most degraded part of a person, the waste of it, and use it to bake my bread. So Hashem tells him, use animal waste. Fine, animal waste. Look, an animal's an animal anyhow. There's nothing worse about that than any other part of the animal, and therefore Yechezkel has no problem with that. So it's not a matter of cleanliness. It's a matter of what does human waste represent relative to a person versus what does animal waste represent? Okay, fine. So we have several different proofs that a mesukenis is mutter after all. Okay, now that we've established that, let's figure out sheichidomi mesukenis. What is the actual definition of a mesukenis? How do we know when the animal is dangerously ill enough to be considered a mesukenis? So Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Shema Amidin Oisa Ve'ena Emedis. If they try to get it to stand up and it won't stand up. So now there are mafoshim who explain that it means that literally you pick the animal up and it won't stay standing. That's the Meiri brings that explanation. But most Rishonim bring, the Raivad brings, the Kolboy brings it in the name of the Raivad eventually. The Ramah brings it, that what it means is, not that you physically pick up the animal. Most of the time you pick up the animal physically, of course it'll stay standing. What you mean is, for example, you try to get it up in one of the usual ways that you do. You yell at it, or you hit it with a stick or whatever. A normal animal would get up under such conditions. Here we're talking about the animal is so sick that it can't get up like that. So the Gemara continues, Rav Chanina bar Shlemia, Mishmei de Rabam, Afilo Echeles Bekayis. Even if the animal eats or bites pieces of wood, Bekayis means pieces of wood, although there are Mephoshim who explain that it means a type of melons. Whatever the case, in other words, even if it has tremendous biting strength still, if it doesn't stand up, then it's still considered mesukenis. Why? Because Shita Mekubetza says, Adarabba, what it means is, it's so desperate to be able to stay alive that it will eat anything that's given to it, even pieces of wood or bitter melons or whatever. But it still doesn't mean, if it doesn't have the strength to stand up, then it's still classified as mesukenis. And similarly, Romi by Yecheskel, afilo Yecheles Kodas, even if it eats Kodas. Now again, Kodas on the face of it means beans. So in other words, not just regular pieces of wood, but even huge beans, it's still considered Mesokinus if it can't stand up. With that said, there are Mephoshim who explain, and Meiri explains this, and Tefetis Yisrael brings it, that the Kodas over here can also mean heart of palm, which is called Koda in Hebrew. Or in Aramaic, whatever. So even if it eats that, so in other words, that's relatively normal food for animals at least, but it is fairly tough. Nevertheless, even if it eats that, it's still considered mesukenes because it can't stand up. Okay. So the Gemara says b'sura masni hochi. This is how they learned these last couple of lines in Surah that they said that Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rav, if it can't stand up. And then we had these two amuroyim. And Romi by Yechezkel adding details to that, even if it has tremendous bite strength. But Pupadissa Masni Hochi, in Pupadissa, they learned it slightly differently. Same dinim, but said slightly differently. Hesedami Mr. Kenneth, in Pupadissa they had the version, what's the Mr. Kenneth? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amarav Koshem Amid Noisiv Enei Medes, that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab, if you try to get it to stand, and it won't stand, Va'afilo Echeles Bekayas, even if it eats pieces of wood, even if it eats or bites pieces of wood. So the difference is, in the first version, in Surah, Rav Chanina bar Shlemia said this point. In Pupadissa, they didn't have that. They had that Rabbi Yehuda had said that himself in the name of Rab. And then Romi bar Yechezkel, Amafilo Echeles Tukas, and Romi bar Yechezkel says, even if it eats kodas, beans or heart or palm, according to the different definitions. So the two versions in Surah and Pupadissa are practically the same. The difference is just that in the Surah version, you have three different Amoroyim over here. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav saying if it won't stand. Rabbi Chanina bar Shlemia and Romi bar Yechezkel talking about what it eats. Whereas in the Pupadissa version, you just have two Amoroyim here. Well, two groups of Amoroyim. Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav and Romi bar Yechezkel, where Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav says both of the first two dinim, that if it won't stand, and even if it eats Bekayas, and then Romi bar Yechezkel adding even if it eats Kodas. But then either way, everybody agrees that the Rashi points out. Nobody's arguing with one another. They're just coming to add to clarification to what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us. So that is what it is. That is the definition of Mesukenes, where you try to get it to stand, and it won't stand. And again, based on the whole discussion so far, we said that it is mutter to shecht such an animal and eat it, but a person can be machmer on himself to not do so as Yechezkel did. In fact, an interesting point that the Rishonim bring in this, that Ramban says, that Ramban brings from the Goinim, that you would be allowed to shecht and eat meat of Mesukenes that belongs to a Yid, but not one that belongs to a Goy. And then Ramban explains because it's midas chasidus not to eat from it, but you don't want to cause another Yid to suffer a loss just because of your midas chasidus. But a goy, he's not going to suffer any loss anyway. They can eat the animal even if it died without shechita. So better you should stick to midas chasidus and not eat it. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch brings this point. It brings that Gedolei HaChachamim, brings a Lashon of the Rambam, that Gedolei HaChachamim, the great Chachamim, for example, we're saying over here, Yechezkel, would not eat from a Mesukenes, and the Shach adds that point from the Ramban, that be machmer on that if you want, but only be machmer when it's not going to cause a loss to a fellow Yid, because you can't be machmer on Yenim's Cheshben, where it's going to cause a loss to somebody else, so therefore by a Goy, where he doesn't suffer any loss anyhow, because he can easily sell the meat to Goyim, then be machmer. But if it was a Yid's animal, then don't be machmer and not buy it from him, because then you're causing him a loss, and you don't want to do that to a fellow Yid.